Welcome back to The Resurrection Then and Now. This is the third of five episodes. This one is Resurrected to Empower Our Sanctification. Pastor Jay, will you lead us at this point?
Yes, we just finished talking about the difference between justification and sanctification. And we want now to focus on this tremendous text. And it's actually found, in Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8. But to each of us was grace given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. One of the most important things that Jesus wanted to do was when he went to his Father, he wanted to make sure that he could empower his church. So in this section, we're going to talk a little bit more about the empowerment of the church collectively. There's two things that Jesus wants to do. He wants to empower our Christ-likeness on a personal level, but he also wants to empower the collective Christ-likeness in the collective church as a group, as a one. So we have the church, which is all of us because we are one in Christ. And then, of course, we are individuals. But this section, we want to focus on edifying the body of Christ. So we're going back to Ephesians chapter 4 again. And Paul says in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, so Paul is going through trouble here and difficulty, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you are called. Now, so he's referring now to justification and to sanctification, meaning that since they were called, they were justified. He now wants them to walk. That's a really good picture, and it's used often in Scripture. Kim referred to it earlier in our last section. This walking with God is sanctification. So I beseech you, I plead with you, he's saying, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love. So he's saying to the church collectively, I want you to collectively be sanctified. I want you to collectively represent Christ. And then endeavoring, he says, as a result of this, bearing one another in love. Bearing with one another suggests that in the church family, we have, we have rough spots. Sometimes we say things in ways that we shouldn't have. Things don't always sit on all four feet or fall on all four feet. And so we need to have patience with one another. We need to have understanding with each other. We understand what a person has been through, the journey they've been on, because we love them and we want them to grow. So he's saying, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's the sanctification for the body of Christ. This unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because we have been justified, we have peace with God. And because we have peace with God, we should have peace with each other because we love each other. And then he goes on in verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. So he's saying to the body of Christ, to the church, don't forget that you are one. You have one body and there's one Spirit. You're not to become factitious. You're not to become fractured. Just as you were called in one hope. So you have one hope of calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's having integrity. So we must understand that the Holy Spirit wants to grow the church in Christ-likeness. And that's why he gives us the gifts of the Spirit. But it's based on these things that Paul has just talked about, dealing with each other in humility and gentleness, with long-suffering and patience, bearing with one another in love, and always wanting to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace, because we have peace with God. On that basis, Christ wants to sanctify his church. He wants to glorify his church. He wants to grow his church. Every church needs to grow in Christ's likeness. And this is what we're talking about.
Now, what about the individual spiritual gifts that start in verse 7?
Well, those individual spiritual gifts are given to us to be able to minister in the church and outside of the church. Let me underline this. And I had an experience many years ago as a pastor And a well-meaning person had come through, and a lot of other churches had kind of gotten into this. And they said, you know, we need to talk about spiritual gifts. Well, that's a good thing to talk about. We need to give a test to see what kind of spiritual gifts your people have. I didn't think that through. And so I kind of went along with it. And we gave tests. And we had a wonderful church. They were winning souls. They were giving Bible studies. And some of the best soul winners started coming to me and said, you know, I took that test and I don't have the spiritual gift for winning souls. And I thought to myself, whoa, yeah, there's something wrong here. And I got to looking at it. Well, first of all, the gifts of the Spirit are given to the individual by the Holy Spirit, and they are then affirmed by the church, not by the individual, not by a test. That doesn't fit at all. Furthermore, those gifts of the Spirit can come in two forms. One is when we're baptized, we're born with natural gifts. Some people have natural gifts for this, that, or the other. So when we are born again, when we are justified, those gifts are now baptized, and they're to be used to be a blessing to the church, to edify the church, and to win souls. Then when we run up to the church runs up against things that it doesn't have the natural gifts to do, such as the early church, it needed gifts of administration. These were fishermen. It needed the gifts of the languages in order to take the gospel beyond. And the Lord supernaturally gives the church gifts to be able to continue to witness, to be his witness, and to win souls. So once we got that straightened out, people got back to winning souls and using whatever gifts, natural talents, or gifts that were supernatural given to them to win souls and to be a blessing to the church.
That reminds me of a difficulty that sometimes comes up when people read these verses in Ephesians, starting with verse 11 of chapter 4, talks about the Lord giving some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And they say, well, that's the work of the ministry, and that's for those people who are called to be those people, apostles, prophets, evangelists. But no, it says God gives some to be these for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. It's all the saints who are to be involved in the work of ministry.
Imitators of God, to be imitators of God's love and to walk in love. I love that picture. What does it mean to walk in love? Well, then it tells us how. It says, as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, that's self-sacrificing love, then we are to walk in love. And this becomes an offering to God. The self-sacrifice love becomes a gift to God. And then he pictures that with men and their wives. So if we want to be like Jesus, Jesus is the head of the church, but he's a self-sacrificing leader. And men, if we want to be the real leaders of our home, then we will be self-sacrificing leaders of our home, just as Christ is the self-sacrificing leader of the church. And that's why the church exists, to walk in self-sacrificing love.
In that context, men who are considering getting married should be careful in what they think marriage really is, because how often we enter the marriage relationship excited about what we will gain from it. And here Scripture says, let us, as Christ, give ourselves. And so it's totally opposite of what we typically enter the marriage relationship thinking, oh, this is, I'm going to gain all these benefits. And God says, follow Christ, who gave himself so that he could present his church without spot or wrinkle. And this is what husbands are to be in their families. So that is a tremendous calling of leadership that should never be entered lightly. We must enter it with our hand in Christ, or we will not be up to the task, if I dare call it that. It's more like the calling. And enter the marriage relationship as the privilege and high calling that it is to follow the example of Jesus in his working with the church.
This is a form of sanctification, of growth and improvement, because of what Christ has done for us.
Yes.
Well, folks, you are tuned to Resurrection Then and Now. We're looking at sanctification, what we are after we've been justified, the walk that we have, and as Pastor Jay said, that the results of justification is sanctification. It doesn't merit anything in itself, but it helps us to become a new creature, to become more like Christ. Well, I'd like you to stay tuned. You can listen to the previous broadcast by going to our website and to the archives under resources, and listen to the previous programs on our website, strongtowerradio.org. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these thoughts.